Hello and welcome to Teacher in Zion Podcast. This is Doug Hatton. For those of you who think that I've maybe dropped off the face of the earth, I apologize. Just a lot of things I have to take care of in my personal life here. I am going to put out just a brief video today unless I really get into it unexpectedly and take off in some direction that I don't plan to do. Today, it's going to be completely unscripted. I don't have any of this really planned out at all. So the likelihood of me getting into trouble and offending a lot of people probably goes up exponentially. But I'm going to take the risk today and just go by my heart and what I want to share. I think it probably isn't any surprise to anyone that I march to the beat of a different drummer. Not usually one to jump into whatever everyone else is talking about in the news. And I'm kind of in my own world and listening to the Spirit and for direction and the things that I'm led to study. And but I do keep in touch with some of the things that are going on. And basically, it's been, I would say, impossible to not know. If you haven't heard, you may have been in a bomb shelter or something, but that there was a sale from the Community of Christ Church, formerly known as the RLDS Church, to the LDS, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, our Utah cousins. The sale for, I think it was $192 million for the Kirtland Temple and quite a few other things as well, historical artifacts and sites. And I don't normally jump into these kinds of discussions that are ongoing, but I recognize that in looking at the reactions, and there are an awful lot of reactions online, videos and in comments, and there are basically two main camps of thought that I see out there. One is a great sadness. And generally speaking, that is coming from those who are of an RLDS background or one of the other factions outside of the Utah Mormon Church, whether it's Strangites or Templelot or Bickertonites or whatever different ites there are, all the different groups that exist in the and probably especially the independent restoration branches that came out of the RLDS church back in the 1980s. And the other primary reaction we see is one of rejoicing. A happy day for many who are members of the LDS church, which is understandable. When I posted this news on the Hope of Zion discussion forum, as you can see, my response is fairly neutral. I simply wrote, this happened. And there's a reason for that. And that reason being that I am neither for or against what just took place. And I'd like to explain that. I have a different point of view from probably most people that will hear this news. And I thought maybe that would be a reason to share. I'm going to try to be careful to explain why I feel the way I do about it and believe the way that I do about it, knowing that this is a sensitive topic for some. And so I don't make light of the fact that this is a painful event for many that are not LDS, especially those out of a RLDS background. Well, just pulling up one of the articles that you can find, there are probably hundreds of articles about this news. I'm just going to pick up the Deseret News here because it was near the top of the feed, and see the list of what was sold. Of course, the Kirtland Temple, that's the biggie that everyone's talking about. But along with this purchase, $192.5 million, okay, along with the Kirtland Temple are historic buildings and historical documents this website here does list all those. So we have the Kirtland Temple. We've got the Smith Family Homestead, Joseph and Emma Smith's Mansion House, the Red Brick Store. That's where the Relief Society met, the Nauvoo House, historical artifacts like portraits of Joseph and Emma Smith dating back to 1842, the original door of the Liberty Jail, the Book of Mormon characters document, a history of the church by John Whitmer, manuscript notes of 1879 interview with Emma Smith by Joseph III, Joseph Smith's Bible, the one he wrote notes into when he was working on a new translation of the Bible, and all of the manuscripts for the new translation of the Bible, which the RLDS termed the inspired version of the Bible. The Kirtland Temple furniture, artifacts, Nauvoo artifacts, family, Smith family items, furniture, etc., as well as non-historical buildings in Kirtland and undeveloped lots in Kirtland, and also a lot of lots, pieces of land in Nauvoo and buildings in Nauvoo, historical lots, historical sites, historical buildings, and so forth. That's quite a bit of items here, items of great historical value. But of how much spiritual value are they? Might be a question to be raised. But what do these things, these buildings, these lands, what do they mean to Restoration saints, and particularly independent Restorationists from an RLDS background, which is the background that I come out of, and I was a part of these Restoration peoples and groups that formed after the breakup of the RLDS Church. And some people believe that this is a consequence of, or just one more further step in the evolution of the Community of Christ Church to basically rid itself of any connection to the history of the Restoration or Joseph Smith, Book of Mormon, etc., and just become a part of the greater Christian community with none of these so-called embarrassing artifacts, perhaps, to be a part of who they are anymore. But I understand that this history is really not of great vital importance to the mission or the overall point of the Community of Christ Church and its teachings at this time, at least from a world headquarters point of view, I don't think. Although there are still very many people in the Community of Christ Church that believe in the Book of Mormon and believe in the history of the church. But I don't think it's any secret that the primary leadership at the top levels of this church for some decades now have mostly viewed this as a kind of embarrassment and not really something they want people looking at. They want to move on to greener pastures. And unfortunately, that includes the loss of a great number of their membership and a loss of revenues. And so my take on it is the Community of Christ wants to be more like other churches. And what I would say to that is that other churches do it better. And when you shed yourself of what makes you unique, the things that people have held precious for years, the natural result is your church will be diminished. It will be diminished in size. It will be diminished in enthusiasm. You'll be diminished in financials and in every way. And of course, that's what we've seen taking place. But that is what it is. It is the course that they have charted for themselves. Whether all of their membership choose to go along on that journey with them, or whether they lower the life rafts and begin to get out one by one, which I think is essentially what's been happening for a very long time and will probably continue to happen. But what does this news mean for Restorationists, for people who have come out of the RLDS tradition? Well, the Community of Christ, whether we have agreed with their direction or not, have been the caretakers of these items for a very long time. And now those things are being transferred out of the hands of the church that we once saw as the one true church, the only one with authority, and now being transferred to our LDS counterpart that we have long held very strong objections to in terms of doctrine and teaching. I would dare say that probably people of an RLDS background might have just as much or maybe more in common with any given Protestant church than they do with their LDS cousins. I've long said that the RLDS is sort of like a Protestant church with a Book of Mormon. Well, and unfortunately, a Doctrine and Covenants as well. But setting that aside, what does this mean? What is the impact of this news on restorationists? Well, to start with, independent restoration branches have been, at least on a yearly basis now, I think, meeting at the Kirtland Temple, the elders going there to worship and to seek guidance from the Lord. And when they go there, there is a burden that they carry because the church, as they see it, is dissolving around them. Their membership is growing older by the day and passing away in great numbers. And the youth of the church is going away. This is a dying movement. And since most of these people still hold to the strong belief that they are the true disciples of Jesus Christ, the only ones with true priesthood authority, and so forth, there is a great burden that they have essentially placed on themselves to come up with a message from the Lord for direction for these people. And this is my opinion. It is my strong belief in what I feel when I read these things from year to year, is that these revelations are conjured up out of their own spirit in a desire to give some hope to their people. And that's understandably so. And I don't think that it's consciously made up. I think that they put themselves under such duress and stress and desperate need and feeling of desperation that I believe it's subconsciously conjured up. But when I read these revelations, they don't really have an answer. Not the real answer. And what they really do is just keep people running in circles. We just need to pray harder, be more unified somehow, whatever it is. Be more diligent, don't give up hope, and somehow God is going to rescue all of this and put us back and restore the true church once more. And it seems that the community of Christ has been willing to rent out the Kirtland Temple to such groups, no doubt because of the great financial strain they are under and needing funds to take care of things like the Kirtland Temple and other historic sites. But since it is or appears to be the intention of the LDS Church to have these places reopened to the public as historic sites for the public to come see, I question whether they're going to be willing to rent it out to any particular religious group for their own purposes. And if they choose not to do that, I think, rightly so, they should not. If the aim is to let these be a historic site that anyone can come and drive on any given day where the Kirtland Temple will be open and take a tour of it and enjoy the facilities and learn about it, then no, you shouldn't rent this out to these little individual groups that have their own religious agenda. And if that is the case, then I would imagine that this is part of the hand of God to take this from them. And I say that because it is, I think, a form of idolatry, and not intentionally so, but that many in the Restoration have, from personal experience in being a part of these groups, a strong belief that the Kirtland Temple will be of great significance in the last days. You see, I think they believe that the elders will be gathered there at some point, that Jesus will meet them there, and that he will endow them from on high, and they'll receive the endowment. Well, the endowment in our LDS background differ, I think, significantly from the endowment in LDS teaching, because everyone receives endowment at the various temples in the LDS church as part of member in good standing, I guess you could say. But for our LDS, the idea was that the elders would look forward to a time when they would be endowed from on high with the powers of heaven. And many believe that this will be at the Kirtland Temple. And if the Kirtland Temple is taken from them, then that puts a damper on that. And I believe if this happens, it will be because the Lord has willed it to be so. I know that's a hard thing to hear and to consider for some. Now, I'm going to refer you to the passage in the Bible where Jesus goes out of his way to go to Samaria, and he meets a Samaritan woman at a well. Now, for those who don't know, the Samaritans were a remnant of Ephraim that managed to come back from the dispersion by Assyria. But these Ephraimites were mixed and intermarried with Gentiles and having children that were of mixed blood of Ephraim or Israelite and Gentile. And because of that, they were considered unclean. And there's been great enmity between the Jews and the Ephraimites for decades and centuries anyway. And so they were considered unclean. And here Jesus is alone and he's speaking to the Samaritan woman. And if she is an Ephraimite, which she is, historically speaking, then is he speaking to us, the church, today? And she is speaking about the place of worship and asking him, you Jews think that the place of worship is in Jerusalem, but we Samaritans know that it should be properly in the mountain, you know, in the territory of Ephraim, where the tabernacle of the Lord and the Ark of the Covenant rested some 400 years. And Jesus' answer to her is that the time is coming and now is, where neither there in Jerusalem or there in the mountains, but those who worship in spirit and truth. And so the emphasis is turned to spiritual, a type of worship, not a place. And the Kirtland Temple has become a place where many believe that God is going to set things straight. But regardless of what happens with the Kirtland Temple, or whether the elders of the restoration will ever be allowed to use it again for that purpose, more importantly, it should be understood that the long-held belief of the independent restoration branches is that the RLDS is still the one true church of God. It just has gone off on a wrong path, but because it is the one true church, God will set it aright. So they are in a holding pattern, in a sense, and things are on pause as we wait for God to come and to cleanse the RLDS church. That is the widely held belief. And so they're waiting for the leadership of the community of Christ to essentially fold and repent, and for the church to somehow be given back over to the elders and the independent restoration branches, because God has seen fit to restore all things. But at this point, the question is, what is left of the RLDS church? Since the community of Christ has sold all the precious historic sites, precious documents, and artifacts of our history, manuscripts, all those things that were sacred to them. And even the auditorium, which used to be the world headquarters, is in disrepair. And the church for some time now has been seeking to sell it. They can't seem to find a buyer yet. But once that is sold or torn down or whatever happens to it, what will be left of the RLDS church for them to inherit, except for a spiral temple that none of them want, that many of them think is an abomination. It was just a symbol of their pain and the new direction that the church took into more of a New Age philosophy or the World Council of Churches. What can you gain except the name Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? That's it. And so what church is there to take over anymore? An organization that is financially insolvent, that has been spiraling downward for years and will continue to do so. And at this point, the Restoration people themselves, so many have passed on, and their numbers have so much diminished, and so many have left and gone on to join with other churches, that they themselves are not able to rescue the organization or keep it afloat. And so the reason why I'm making this video today is to tell you that when I see the events taking place, the historical events of these items, these lands, these properties, these buildings, historical documents being transferred to the LDS Church, I see the hand of God, because it's been 40 years now since these Restoration peoples left the RLDS Church. 40 years. And like the Israelites in the wilderness that keep looking back to Egypt, and I was shown that Egypt was a type and shadow for the church age, that God is trying to wean us from dependency and desire in our heart for Egypt, the things of Egypt, the things of the past. Most of these Restoration people, or a lot of them, are pining for the days, the glory days of the RLDS Church. And when they think of those glory days, they're thinking of the 1950s. Well, the 1950s may have been a better time in their mind, but it was still no closer to Zion. And it still wasn't where it needed to be. The people of God need to have a wilderness journey, and they need to rid themselves of all these past ideas of glory, because a lot of it was the glory of men, the glory of buildings and projects, ideas and notions that revolved around the worship of a man, even Joseph Smith, and the idolatry of having a man stand in the place of Christ to give us revelation and understanding and direction. And it's the glory of a church organization, and one that has notions of exclusivity, which is a kind of judgment to imagine that all the other churches and all the other people in the various factions of the Restoration, or even that all other Christians, are not really his people or his disciples. That level of judgment and that level of arrogance is one of the reasons why we had to be judged and be sifted and to go through these hard times. And now I see that God is taking away from us many of these last remnants of our idolatry in our worship of the church, of the one true organization. And this is for our benefit. I know this may be hard for some of you to hear. Probably some of you would like to punch me in the face. I'm guessing most of my audience, however, will see the truth of it and have perhaps already thought the same kinds of thoughts. Ultimately, these buildings, these properties, these documents, they will all pass away. They'll all turn to dust one day. What God is asking us to do is turn our eyes to Him and enter into the kingdom, not worry about an earthly church organization or denomination to build up, but to build up His kingdom and to help others come unto Christ so that they too can enter into His kingdom. And when we enter into His kingdom in faith, believing, and walk according to the Spirit, then we are the church, whether there's an organization to it yet or not. And His church, the body of Christ, is so much more than one group of people from one denomination that has failed. That he is calling those who are his from every kind of Christian background there is. He's calling them to come out, of reliance on men, preachers, and doctrines and teachings that are not quite right, that have spins on them, that have added to the doctrine of Christ or removed things from his doctrine. Come out of those churches that are just basically entertainment and make you feel good about yourself that you are a Christian because you go to church. And come out of those dead religions that give you all these dead works to do and tithes to pay and all that so you can keep things going. But it's just an edifice for the glory of man and builds up the empires of men and not the kingdom of God. So when I see this news, I am not really saddened by it at all, nor am I excited about it. I understand everyone's feelings, but for me, I hold steadfast to the vision that he has given me for many years now, and not just myself, but many others. And that is of a gathering of God's people from every background, LDS, RLDS, Bickertonites, Strangites, Church of Christ Temple Lot, Baptists, Catholics, come one, come all those who will take hold of the promise and gather unto him, the good shepherd, even Jesus Christ, and forsake everything else, forsake our petty differences and all the doctrines that are not the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, all of our pet theories and all of our bizarre beliefs and things that really are not supported, whether any of them are true or maybe some have some element of truth to them, it's not worth clinging to. If it's important, the Lord will bring it back to us once we become a changed and transformed people and begin to walk by his Spirit, even in the powers of heaven, and usher forth the birthing of this kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And that is the goal, and that is the thing we should be reaching for. And I'm going to tell you, as painful as it may be for you, the Kirtland Temple will not help you achieve this. None of these historic sites will help you achieve this. None of these historic documents. Regaining control of some organization you vainly thought was the one true organization will not help you get there. But Jesus has said that my sheep know my voice, and there will be one shepherd and one flock, not multiple flocks. And so I invite each one, lay down their pet ideas, doctrines, theories, whatever it is. I'm not saying you have to do away with your beliefs, not at all. But are you prepared to set them on a shelf temporarily and abide by the gospel, the pure gospel, and the pure teachings and the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and come together with other people from other backgrounds under that premise to seek him so that he can purify us and heal us, and he can teach us, and he can teach us all things that we need to know, and all these things will be set aright. He is the one for us to gather to, he alone. And if we will do that, then the body of Christ can be manifested on the earth again in power and in strength and in unity of love. And all of these disagreements and all the disputations and all the contentions can be set aside and be done away with. And let the love of God spread abroad in our hearts, one toward another. and a people who abide by the gospel of Jesus Christ, who live it, who live his doctrine, his gospel every day. That people God will call Zion. And that people will be a part of the last day move of God to redeem his kingdom, redeem his children, and to build his church, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and to go forth in power and in love and transform this world in the very hour where the powers of darkness are seizing upon the world in wars and contentions and disasters among the unbelievers. There can be a people with the light of Christ, a city set on a hill. And we can give hope, even the hope of Jesus Christ, to a dying and sick world, that they can be redeemed and brought back into the very presence of God. Amen. And if I haven't completely offended you, I hope you will join us next time. And until then, God bless. Last June, we hosted a gathering in Missouri for people waking up from dead religion to newness of life through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. People have asked if and when we might do it again, and I'm excited to announce that we plan to meet June 21st through the 23rd, 2024, just a little over 3 months from now. We learned a few things from the last gathering, so this time around, we want to leave more time for fellowship and more time for people to break out into groups for discussion. For our corporate worship, we again invite musicians and singers to come to minister in music and even lead us in song. We'd like to provide an open mic time for people to briefly share their journey, their struggles, and testimony. We call upon those prayer warriors out there to sign up to pray for those in need. And finally, we will again have the baptismal font ready in case there are any who desire to be baptized. If you do not have someone in mind to baptize you, there will be a godly servant chosen for this work who will prepare and stand ready should the need arise. I love the discussion I had with many of you last year, and I look forward to the rich fellowship found among those who are seeking greater understanding and a closer relationship with God. So mark your calendars, June 21st through the 23rd, that's this year, 2024, at the Congregational Building off Highway 50 near Pittsville, Missouri. If you plan to come, please email me at teacherinzion@gmail.com so we can get a head count. Also, please let me know if you would like to bring ministry, maybe in music or prayer, etc. More details on the gathering will be forthcoming in the next couple of months, and I cannot wait to see your beautiful faces and hear what you have to share.